Blog Talk Radio.
The streets don't love you back. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time, 8:30 Pacific, with your hosts Boyd and Lucinda for the hottest talk show in existence. The streets don't love you back.
Good evening and welcome to the Streets Don't Love You Back show. Today is April 7th, 2010. I'm your host, Lucinda, with my co-host, Boyd. And our topic is, as always, the streets don't love you back. Join us every Wednesday night with real people, real stories, real changes, as we hear the truth about gangs, drugs, violence, abuse, and other life issues. We have a great show for you tonight. Our guest is Karen Dabney. She's an author from Detroit. She works in many different capacities with the youth, as well as being a writer, a journalist, and recently a new book that's geared towards young adults and teenagers. So we will wait for her to call in tonight. Let me go ahead and introduce to you Boyd, my co-host.
Yes, I would just like to tell all the listeners hello and hope everybody had a great day today. And as always, like the wife said, the streets don't love you back, and we would like you to always try to make a difference in your community, in your school, and in someone's life that you don't even have to know them. Just always try to make that great difference to save someone's life. And we also know that everyone is not going to, you know, listen, but the ones that do listen, they got a chance to do right. So we want everybody just to keep the great work up that you do across the country with the movement, you know. So that's it, you know, and watch out for the great show tonight with Miss Karen.
Right. I also want to give a shout-out to my daughter, Emily. She had her 18th birthday yesterday. So just want to tell you that I love you and I'm proud of you and keep up the good work.
And definitely we'd be glad as soon as you graduate with the GED, and we can definitely be showing up proud of you for sticking to your guns on that as well.
That's right.
Yeah, and we're just going to get into a little something while we're waiting on Miss Karen to call in. I just want to give a special shout-out to all the mothers and fathers who have lost a loved one to the gang and the drug violence out here in communities across the country. And we're just asking for mothers and fathers to get truly involved with the Streets Don't Love You Back movement. And together as a unit and team, we can definitely make a difference in our communities all over, and so does such change we such seek out here. And because we're definitely tired of the violence and the nonsense killings, and it don't make sense, you know, that a man or woman get killed for nothing, you know. It's vigilante killing. It's not we're out here doing something because somebody done harmed us. We're just doing senseless things out here in the world. So we're asking for mothers and fathers to definitely join the movement. And while we're on the line, give a shout-out to Miss Alicia that's on the line. And I just want to say we sent our sympathy. I read your information that you put on our website with the loss of your son. He was 16 years old.
Hold on. I've got a kid around the area. There we go. No, we can hear you.
Yeah, Miss Alicia, you there?
I'm here.
Yeah, we just wanted to give you a special shout-out for getting involved with our movement. And we read the information about your loss of your son, and we're just thanking you for jumping on board and getting involved with the movement as well to spread that word.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, absolutely. I thank you guys for what you're doing, you know. And we do, like you said, we need more people, more parents to get involved.
Right.
Yes, indeed.
You know, I saw a message that Vicky's founder of Project Cry No More out of Compton, Los Angeles, California, and she actually represents and helps victims like yourself of people that have been murdered, killed. And so she actually put a comment on Facebook today that they were having a vigil tonight for somebody, an unknown. They don't know. They found a burned body behind the high school there in Compton. and they still don't know who it is yet, but they're having a vigil out in Compton tonight for that person, and we pray to God that they find out who it is and that their family will be comforted when they find out, because that's got to be, I mean, a horrible, horrible, horrible death, you know, and you can only imagine what happened before that.
Yeah.
And they're also having the first annual Victims Awareness Week, I believe. It starts in April 18th, and every night that week they're going to go to a different place in Los Angeles with the candlelight vigil and in memory of all those who have been taken by homicide. And so we're just asking that any group, wherever you are, you know, go ahead and get together with your church group, your prayer group, your family, your friends, whoever, and light a candle. They'll have a moment of silence at 7 p.m. every night. And, you know, let's pray for the souls of all those that we've lost, you know.
Yes,
and,
indeed.
We have all the information for that on our website as well. And that's www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com.
Sounds wonderful. And while we're waiting on Miss Karen, I just wanted to ask you a few things, Miss Alicia.
Mm-hmm.
What happened in your event that your son had fell victim to that kind of environment?
Well, he was 16, and prior to that, he hadn't been in any, you know, he hadn't been in gangs involved with that kind of lifestyle. He played football and basketball in high school, you know, was a pretty good athlete. And so the high school that he was playing at, he didn't think he was getting enough playing time, so he wanted to transfer to another school. So we moved, and I got him involved in another school. And in that high school, it was that he got, you know, just introduced to another group of kids who were involved in gangs, and he just, you know, was curious and got involved. And so he was, you know, just out there hanging out in the streets, started, you know, living that lifestyle, and he was only a month into it, and his so-called friends, the ones that got him jumped in and was showing him around, is actually the one who killed him.
Wow.
Yeah.
That's a big blow. That reminds me of Miss Vicki Lindsay, who my wife just got through speaking on. That same tragedy happened to her son out in Compton, California. They supposed to have been his friends, and drove him off somewhere and shot him in the back of the head in the car.
Yeah. Well, my son was with the guy that jumped him in. His name was Tank, and my son was called Tiny Tank. And there were also two other kids in the car. They were all driving around, and that same night, Tank killed my son and the other two kids. So he killed all three of the kids that night.
And did they know why? What was his motive for that?
It never really came out in court. It just that, you know, they were all just driving around. They were all high, and for whatever reason, he just shot each one of them. They said execution style, you know, shot each one of them, and then it was a couple days before he turned himself in. And
wow.
Yeah, that was that. Terrible.
So what ended up happening to this guy?
He got three life terms. He got a life term for each one of the kids. There was, you know, one juror held out for the death penalty. So he ended up getting three life terms.
Yeah, he definitely needed that, you know, because it's like, you know, so much senseless killing out here. And, you know, the young man didn't even really know what was happening. You know, he was just trying to get some playing time in school, you know.
He had no idea what he was doing. He was just out there, you know, thrill seeking. He had no idea about that lifestyle, what he was getting himself into. And you know, I don't know. I think that he was trying to get out, or, you know, he had changed his mind and, you know, was trying to get out. And
right. And
I see a lot of kids do that, too. They get into it, and then they think, you know, I really don't want to be around this stuff. And then they try to get out, and they get in trouble.
Yeah.
Now, how old was the guy that killed him?
He was 27. My son was 16.
And the other two boys?
And it was another boy who was 20, and then a girl who was 16.
Wow. Oh, my gosh. How long ago was that?
It was in 94. It was May of 94. Yeah.
That's crazy. It's just unbelievable how people just disrespect lives and just have no regard for other people.
Yeah, it was rough times. I was a single parent, and you know, had my younger daughter, so it was really, you know, something to go through. So I totally understand, you know, the pain that something like that causes, you know, families.
Right. It's unimaginable, you know, unless you've gone through it, I think.
And no one understand how that feels to lose a child until that done happen, you know. We can all say, you know, I understand how you feel, but like Miss Vicki Lindsley said, you really don't know how a mother feel when she loses her child. Only thing you can say is, I can only imagine, but you can never say, I know how you feel, because you don't know that feeling because it hasn't happened to you. Is that correct to say, Ms. Webster?
Oh, yeah. You know, you can't even describe what you go through. I mean, you've heard people say, you know, it feels like my heart was, you know, snatched out. It does. It just... I'm sorry, what'd you say?
I think we all kind of lost the connection for a second.
Okay.
Go ahead.
Yeah, it's definitely, you know, something you don't wish on anybody, something to go, you know, you have to go through. It's, you know, you just don't feel, you have no control over anything, and, you know, it's just a real shock to your system when you have to go through something like that. And
right. So what we're going to do for a few minutes, we're going to take a commercial break, and we're going to take a song break, and we're going to go to the song Guide and Protect Us by Rising Sun, and then a commercial.
Okay. I don't think we have that song on here. Oh, we do. Here we go. Sorry. Here we go.
Guide and protect us, Lord. To give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging that two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray. Give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy. The first one I call every day when I wake and pray. Yeah, the one who is there when no one has a care, I say, Lord, you strengthen my soul when my mind wants to go astray. Yeah, and lift me up high when I fall and my ground gives way. Lord, how precious your love and your grace and your counting days. Lord, you show me the light and the dark, now I shall repay. Yeah, with all of my strength I will fight with an iron fist. Lord, the freedoms of hate and the seed today don't exist. Guide and protect us, Lord. To give us your grace and your strength and your mercy. Swinging that two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me. Even when I pass away, my legacy lives on through my seed and my working. Every little thing I pray. Give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy. With enemies close all around, I will call your name. Yeah, and slaughter the weak you quickly with no thought or shame. Lord, for my heart is firm in your hands, so I'm no disgrace. No, I'll hail up your name every day with a smile. pray for your tenderness, Lord. To be in your infinite grace is my happiness, yeah. No matter the time or the place, you are here for me, Lord. You show me the light and the dark, so I carry it. Guide and protect us, Lord. Give us your grace and your strength and your mercy, swinging that two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice, so nothing can hurt me, even when I pass away. My legacy lives on through my seed and my working, every little thing I pray. Give thanks for your grace and your strength and your mercy, yeah. We tried the long rocky road, the buffalo soldier, fight the power, freedom, war. The last we left on the throne, the conquering disciples, firm your congregation, yeah, yeah. Collect the security, we build a better nation, time besides the unity. Say nothing in fight, nothing in war, but brotherly love can destroy oppression. If we come together, we can conquer all our foes, live victory eternally. But if we keep on murdering, see so much that he thinks, we're crumbling our destiny. But we were meant to rule upon the earth and multiply creativity and love, so I will always try to show love and respect until I die. And so I will humble and pray. Guide and protect us, Lord. To give us your grace and your strength and your mercy, swinging that two-edged sword. I'm fighting for justice so nothing can hurt me, even when I pass away. My legacy lives on through my seed and my working, every little thing I pray. Give thanks to your grace and your strength and your mercy, your mercy.
Story of Detroit kingpin Rob Boyd, a must-read book. This book will be available online worldwide to order at thestreetsdontloveyouback.name.com, at amazon.com, barnesandnoble.com, indiebound.org, and borders.com. Also available in Detroit at Harlem World Books and Videos, and at Human Bookstore on Frederick Douglass Boulevard. It's everywhere, so go ahead and order your autographed copy today. The streets don't love you back.
Hey, hey, ladies and gentlemen, welcome right back here to the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show. I think our guest has arrived, Miss Karen, and I'll let the missus take it over from here.
Hello, Karen?
Yeah, I lost track of the time.
That's okay. How are you doing tonight, Karen?
I'm fine. How are you?
Good, doing real good. Welcome to the show. And we kind of told a little bit about you at the beginning of the show, so we'd like for you to go ahead and introduce yourself and let us know what you do.
Okay, my name is Karen Dabney, and right now I'm working as an author and artist, and I've written a book called The Magic Pencil. This is my first novel that I've written for young adults, and it's a story about a boy who, well, he himself lives in kind of a rough neighborhood, and his older brother is what you might call a thug because he runs the streets and is doing all kinds of things at 15 years old. And that's basically it.
And so your novel just kind of talks about, because it says here that it's kind of comical or how does that pertain to, I mean, how do you relate that to the kids? You kind of make it a little comical?
Well, it's told by the main character. And there's a lot of important life lessons in the book, but it's told in a lighthearted way. You know, there's lots of funny stuff in it. It's not all seriousness and...
It ain't all hardcore.
Right, right,
you know,
right.
It's basically something that you want the world to, you know, grasp and gasp to understand that, you know, you really... don't have to be a cold-blooded thug to get your point across. You know, you can be just the individual you are. Is that something like what you're trying to show to people throughout your novel?
Yeah.
Okay, great then. And you grew up in Detroit, from
yes,
what I read. And what you grew up on the west or the east side?
On the west side, but I've lived all over the city.
Okay, great, great.
Worked all over the city.
Great. So what made you really want to write this novel you wrote, The Magic Pencil? What was the, you know, the whole movement behind it?
Okay, I used to substitute teach for a long time, and I noticed that pencils were very important to the kids. And if you think back, you know, pencils were very important to all of us.
No doubt, with the eraser on it.
Right. How they looked, how they, the length of them, was the eraser new, just all kinds of little things like that. So the boy starts out the story telling about the importance of pencils, and it, you know, just kind of goes into what the things that children find important in their lives, and It's telling the, you know, the stories of what's going on, but it's also, like I said, teaching life lessons. And what gave me the idea, besides just watching the youth with the pencils, were, you know, ways to motivate them and help them to understand why school is important. And to get their attention.
Right, right. And if me, for instance, my own individuality, if I was to sit down and read your whole book, which I want to say on the air, thank you for sending me and my wife the book and autographing the tours as well.
I just wanted
to thank you for that as well. But just say I done read your whole script, and if you had to come do a speech, you know, and ask me what would you want me to get out the book, what would be your response to what you would want people to achieve out of your book?
Okay, I'd want them to know that there are more ways of living than running the streets. I'd want them to know that there are good kids who can go bad because of neglect and things like that. There's one boy in the story whose parents are alcoholics and they're not able to help him with his schoolwork, but he wants to do well anyway. So he has to find ways to help himself to be able to succeed. As I said, the brother is has chosen to be one way. They have the same mother, and they have the same chance in life, but he's chosen to be more of a street person. You know, he's running around doing things he shouldn't do. And I show in the story that he's still a person. He still has some good values, and there's always a chance for him to change. And he has a father who is not very supportive in his life either. So,
right.
Yeah.
And that's so true to a lot of kids that are out in the streets. They don't really have the guidance that they need, and they just find themselves out in the streets. And then there are those that don't have the guidance, and they try even harder to succeed.
Right.
Exactly.
Both ends of it. Right.
Right.
And I really wanted to say, you know, I did read your book, and, you know, I got a lot out of your book, you know. I'm from Detroit as well.
Right.
And I grew up on the east side of Detroit,
mm-hmm.
you know, from the Brewster Projects to the Warren and Connor Projects to the Jeffrey Projects, through all out the east side and the west side, you know.
Mm-hmm.
But I mainly dealt with the east side. And reading some of your story, my life was similar in a lot of them ways, so
mm-hmm.
I could relate to your book. You know,
mm-hmm.
my dad, he was a very successful man, you
mm-hmm.
know, but my mother was a lady that came from the black bottoms of Detroit,
mm-hmm.
Leland and Rye Pell, you know, down
mm-hmm.
in that area,
yeah,
by the Brewster Project. So the story was like, you know, rich man, poor woman type thing, because my father was very successful and had a lot of money. But my mother came from a real poor family, you know?
Right.
So when me and my sister was born, you know, he went on about his way. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm.
So that's what made my life go through a lot of transitions. And then when I seen my stepfather at 9 years old get murdered right in front of me and my mother. So my life jumped into a lot of bad transitions at that age, you know?
Right.
And I started living the gang life at 10 years old. You know, right over there on Van Eyck and Harper, the Bishop and the Chain Gang back in them days, you know?
Yeah.
And I lived that life all the way into my early 20s. So, yeah, I definitely related to your book. And a lot of kids out here be wanting to do something with their life, but a lot of times you have a situation where if you don't have no one to reach out to, it is so easy to get caught up on the wrong track out here, you know?
Right.
So the encouragement that she brings from the book, if you know, if you're going through some situations, if your parents alcoholic, drug addicts, or what have you, or just ain't drug addicts, alcoholics, and just don't care,
right.
you have to reach out to people that do care and speak to your teacher about it, you know. And you got a lot of teachers that care, and you got some don't care, you know. And that's part of life out here. You got people who care and don't care. But you deal with the ones who do care and the ones who do want to see you progress to the next level in life, you know. So that's a good enlightenment that she spoke out of her book, you know. And we have a call on the line, Ms. Webster, and would you like to ask Ms. Karen anything?
Actually, I wanted to ask her about her book, how'd she, you know, get started, because I would like to write a book as well. You know, not sure how to get started, or, you know, because I know a lot of young kids, you know, can, you know, would benefit from reading, you know, just reading stories like that, just to know that, you know, there's someone out there like them and there is help.
Do you have a story in mind already, or are you just kind of playing around with an idea?
Well, I wanted to write the story about my son, how he was killed, you know, murdered in gang violence.
Okay. Well,
kind of how he got into it and, you know.
Well, you've got a lot of good information to start out with. You can talk about your family and
mm-hmm.
how your son grew up and how he changed and what you went through with him and, you know, kind of suggest to the kids what to do if they're faced with certain kinds of issues.
Mm-hmm.
Would you be able to do that by telling the true story?
Yeah, that's what I would want to do. And also, you know, I have my own story, how I grew up and stuff. Would you suggest putting that all in one book or doing separate books?
I would put it all in one book.
You would, okay.
It could be your story, but then, you know, then as your life goes, telling your son's story.
Right,
okay.
Yeah, that's definitely how you should do that, Miss Webster. You know, you start from you as an individual, because without you, it can't be no discussion about him. You know what I mean?
Right. Okay. Yeah.
So you start the groundwork where it started from. You know, it started from you, and then you get off into how your son switched his life over, which you stated earlier. He just wanted a little playing time at the school and couldn't get it, so you switched him over to another school, and then that's when the game got twisted, you know?
Yeah.
So you can take it from there and really just elaborate on them issues right there. And it's always good to reach out and tell your story, because it betters your inside and out as a character person, you know? And mm-hmm. your story could help someone else that's going through the same situation with their family, or just trying to be something they're not, you know? And a lot is going to listen, and a lot is not going to listen, you know?
Mm-hmm.
So that's a fact of life that we all have to face out here, you know, whether it's our child or whether it's just our cousin or just somebody we know. Everybody is not going to want to do right, and that's just the bottom line. You know, bad as we might want to see somebody do right, you know, it's just not possible all the time, you know, because everybody get into their own groove, and that's what they roll with, you know, until game is over. And when game over, that means you're in the penitentiary for the rest of your life, or in the graveyard, you know what I mean? Because once again, you did not listen or take heed to what someone was trying to tell you to better your own characteristics in life.
Something that I would suggest, what I did is, my story is being told by the boy, the main character of the story, and I would suggest, if you're trying to reach youth, then maybe you'd want to tell the story either from your son's point of view or from your point of view as a younger person, you know, instead of just an older person talking about what happened. You know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
You might want to start with when you were younger and how things were when you were growing up, and then when you had your son, what was going on then, and, you know, go from there.
Okay, yeah, there'll be so much in the story, because, I mean, like I said, I have my own story, you know, how I grew up and, you know, struggled, and both my parents were alcoholics and put us in foster homes, and being biracial and that whole struggle, and, you know, I had my son when I was 16, and, you know, how ironic, he was killed when he was 16 and, you know, was homeless and did drugs and, you know, just everything.
Right. And that's a story that must be told, you know, because everybody has a testimony out here in life. I don't care who you is, whether you done came to be the greatest person in America, you know, you got to look at how did that person become the greatest person in America, you know. You don't just come the greatest person in America because you jump up one day and say, hey, I'm him, or, you know what I mean? You have to, you know, take steps to achieve any kind of success in life. And if you really actually sit down and talk to people who have truly achieved in life, they will also tell you about their failures in life as well. Before the achievement came, failures must come, you know?
Right.
Yeah, unless you born with a silver spoon in your mouth and the family got billions of dollars to say, here go little Johnny and Sally, here go yours, you know? But really, to me, you didn't work for yours. You know what I mean?
Yeah,
and I feel when you work for yours, it's a better achievement than when somebody say, here you go, and go on about your way. You know, you feel much better when you work something for yourself for real.
And there's no guarantee that even with the silver spoon that you're going to turn out in the right direction.
Thank you. Because there's so many silver spoons didn't turn out the right way. And the average person from the ghetto turns out to be something. So it's really not where you're from, whether you're from the suburbs or the ghetto. It's really where you're trying to go as an individual yourself, you know?
Yeah.
That's the bottom line.
And, too, with my book, you know, I want to I want to be able to reach out to women also who are, you know, struggling and,
yes.
and you know, and feel like there's no way out or, you know, you can't overcome. I want them to know that you can overcome anything.
Definitely. And we must definitely reach out to our women because, once again, on that, the women's situation, women is the root of life, you know what I mean? You know, you all brings life into the world, you know? I mean, I'm not knocking the homies, but a lot of the homeboys out here, they got attention on that I'm just going to have these kids all over America, and I'm going to the next house, you know, and ain't even taking care of the first or second house, you know? So we definitely must give the women all ups and much respect on that level because y'all mainly take care of the business at hand. Even if it's not enough food at the table, y'all make enough food for 10 kids if it's necessary, you know? With a homeboy somewhere else doing something he ain't got no business doing. So big ups to the ladies.
Yeah. That's when you do your story, you know, you can make your hero be yourself and start out, like I said, you know, start out with what happened in your life. And how things changed, and when your son started to go for bad, you know, you can explain how you felt and what you did about it, and you know, from your point of view, like I said, I would start out as a younger person, telling about my life first, and then get into what happened when your son was born, all that kind of thing.
That's beautiful insight for Miss Karen, you know.
Yeah.
Appreciate that insight. And do you have any upcoming events coming up that you would like to share with anybody, Miss Karen? Website to go get her new book, The Magic Pencil. We would like for you to get your website out if you have a website and other ways they can go buy your book as well.
Okay, my website, I'm selling my book there. And there are a numerous amount of places where it is on sale, but you can get it through my website and find out where those places are. And my website is dabsandcompany.com. That's dabsandcompany.com. So you can get the book directly from me where it would be autographed and sent out to you. Or you can go through Amazon.com. There's a number of stores in the Detroit area. Some of them are the Virgil H. Carr Center has the book. BookBeat has the book. The Urban Network Bookstore. Spectacles. The Shrine of the Black Madonna. That's where I'll be having my next reading, and that's in Detroit. The address is 13535 Livernois, Detroit, Michigan 48238. And for those of us who know the city, it's near Livernois and Davison, right in the area where I grew up. I've also got
what's
the book.
What's the date for that, Karen?
I'm sorry?
What's the date for your reading?
Oh, okay. It's this coming April 17th at 2:30 until 4.
Okay.
And then I'll also be featured on the 11th. There's at Bigby Coffee. You just had them on your show, the Live Ladies of Literature.
Yeah, uh-huh. Miss Adrian and them.
Right, Adrian and Tracy.
Yes.
They have a monthly meeting at Bigby Coffee, and that's at 4501 Woodward. And they're going to be featuring children's authors on the 11th. And so we'll be showcasing our books there.
Great.
Yeah.
So you make sure you tell Miss Asia and Tracy we send our love out to them and we keep supporting them at what they're doing back home, you know?
Right.
Oh, yeah.
And then also, I forgot, on the 10th, I'll be at the Urban Network Bookstore, from 1 to 4, they're having a marathon book signing of Detroit authors, and I'll be there on the 10th.
Great, great.
That's at 5740 Grand River near McGraw.
All right, that's on the west side, people.
Right, Detroit 48208. And so is the Shrine of the Black Madonna. They're both on the west side.
Exactly, exactly.
And I also have the book in a few libraries.
Great, great. Tell them which libraries it's in.
It's in the Hamtramck Public Library. That's in Hamtramck, Michigan. It is in the Southfield Public Library in Southfield, Michigan. And it is in Wayne State University's Purdy Kresge Library in their Special Collections Department.
Great.
Yeah.
And what would you tell these youths and adults out here, Ms. Karen? What advice would you give them right now while you're on the air?
In regards to finding someone, well, with the parents, I would tell them, you know, that they have to stay on top of their child's lives, stay involved, get involved with their school, try to find activities for their children to do so that they have other things to do than just hang out in the streets. And with the children, I would suggest that they find ways to express themselves that are, you know, not detrimental to their health and other people's. And like you said before, find help if they don't have it at home. One of the characters in the book, the one I said his parents are alcoholics, he was attending a tutoring course, but then it was canceled by the school due to lack of funds. So through the main character, he's able to find it within himself to find a relative that can help him with his schoolwork. And that's something that our kids don't think about. You know, there's somebody somewhere in your life that can help you with your problems. And as you said, Rob, it could be a teacher. It could be a relative. It could be someone that lives down the street, you know, as long as it's somebody safe.
Exactly.
Yeah, you know, it could be an older cousin, and you know, I mean, just there are people out there that will help you.
That's right.
But and they have to know that you need help.
Exactly, because if you don't speak, nobody knows you need help. And if you don't reach out, nobody knows that you're trying to reach out. So the bottom line is, Ms. Karen is just letting everybody know, if you're going through a situation, no matter what it is, you know, reach out to somebody and let them know you're going through something, because closed mouth don't get fed. So we definitely have to be on top of our children, parents, and you definitely have to stay focused in your kids' life out here, and stop always saying what little Johnny and what little Susie ain't doing, because once they leave your house, you don't know what they're doing, you know?
Right.
They can change clothes no sooner than they get over their friend's house, you know?
Right.
They might leave your house with the best dress on. Next thing you know, they over there with the handkerchief hanging out their pockets and pants hanging off their body. So never underestimate the game out here, people, you know? Just stay involved, stay looking, and stay communicating with the kids, because things can happen in a matter of seconds out here, and it can all go bad, you know? And
right.
We don't want it to go bad. We want to keep the communities and people uplifted out here, you know?
Right.
So we're having a great time tonight with the author, Ms. Karen, the book, The Magic Pencil. And we're going to take a short break, and we're going to come back with Ms. Karen, and we're going to kick the song Lay My Feelings Down by LD, and we're going to go to a commercial and be right back at the show. Hang tight.
Okay. Ain't no hurry, gonna take my time. Look into my eyes, I can read your mind. Let my fingertips pop down your spine and lay your feelings down, giving me the sign to cross the line. You already mine, so it ain't no crime. Let her eye do the talking, girl, I know that I'm gonna lay my feelings down. Ain't in no hurry, gonna take my time. Look into my eyes, I can read your mind. Let my fingertips pop down your spine and lay your feelings down, giving me the sign to cross the line. You already mine, so it ain't no fun. Let her eyes do the talking, girl, and know that I'm gonna lay my feelings down. When I first saw you, couldn't believe my eyes. From the first contact, you had me hypnotized like rolling tides in paradise. Gotta put in some time, gotta make you mine. If you got a minute, could you spend it with me? If you gotta go, just know one thing. I think about you every time that you leave, and I miss you for your goal, so won't you stay, please? You are what I need, baby.
Your body's like a taste
of my own space. Can I touch you, please, lady?
Explore your frame in every single place.
Gonna take my time when this goes down.
See, y'all ain't no secret, nobody gotta know.
Let's have good conversation, lay our feelings down.
If you feel the same, then let me know.
Ain't in no hurry, gonna take my time. Look into my eyes, I can read your mind. Let my fingertips follow down your spine and lay your feelings down. Giving me the sign to cross the line. You already mine, so it ain't no crime. Let her eyes do the talking, girl, and know that I'm gonna lay my feelings down. Ain't in no hurry, gon' take my time. Look into my eyes, I can read your mind. Let my fingertips pop it down your spine and lay your feelings down. Giving me the sign, cross the line. You already mine, so it ain't no crime. Let her eyes do the talking, girl, and know that I'm gon' lay my feelings down. Now that I got you here with me, I plan on giving you everything you need. Let me undress you and plant my seed. To show you all the things that you won't believe. I need your full attention, not to mention concern. Now that we sitting, just listen and learn. I'm spending my patience and I'm finna earn my wish for your kiss to quench this burn. You are what I need, baby.
Your body's like a taste of my own strength.
Can I touch you, please, lady?
Explore your frame in every secret place.
Gonna take my time when this goes down.
Yeah, a little secret, nobody gotta know.
Let's have good conversation, lay our feelings down. Ain't in no hurry, gon' take my time. Look into my eyes, I can read your mind. Let my fingertips follow down your spine and lay your feelings down. Giving me the sign to cross the line. You already mine, so it ain't no crime. Let her eyes do the talking, girl, and know that I'm gon' lay my feelings down. Ain't in no hurry, gon' take my time. Look into my eyes, I can read your mind. Let my fingertips follow down your spine and lay your feelings down. Giving me the sign to cross the line. You already mine, so it ain't no crime. Let her eyes do the talking, girl, and know that I'm gonna lay my feelings down.
Educate the youth. Order the book right now online at thestreetsdontloveyouback.name.com, a place where positive things happen. The new social networking site developed by Robert Boyd and Lucinda to educate the youth. Come join the movement. You can make a difference. Stay tuned every Wednesday at 11:30 p.m. Eastern Standard Time with your hosts, Boyd and Lucinda, for the hottest talk show in existence. The Streets Don't Love You Back.
Everybody's out here talking about all that thug life, player. Talking about that drug dealing thing. Tell you, baby, it's about getting your life together, getting your head on tight, doing something with your life, and stop destroying the community, and stop destroying yourself, baby. But when the people come at you, they come for real, player. Homeboys on my
streets don't love you back. Come join the movement at thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com.
All right, ladies and gentlemen, we're right back here kicking it live at the Streets Don't Love You Back radio show with Miss Karen. Like we told you, we're bringing it live, living it in person. Miss Karen, I want you to speak one more time on where to get that great book from, and we're encouraging everybody to go out and grab that book and put it in your bookshelf.
Okay, you can get the book off of my website. That's dabsandcompany.com. D-A-B-S-A-N-D-C-O-M-P-A-N-Y www.thefreedomcompany.com. It's also on sale in Detroit at Spectacles. That's at 230 East Grand Boulevard. I'm sorry, East Grand River in Detroit. It's at Shrine of the Black Madonna Cultural Center, which is at 13535 Livernois Avenue, and that's where I'll be speaking on the 17th. And it's at Russell Bazaar and Yusef Shakur and Kwasi Akwamu's Urban Bookstore, Urban Network Bookstore. That's at 5740 Grand River near McGraw. It is at the Virgil H. Carr Cultural Center. That's 311 East Grand River, and that's in Detroit. And Book Beat, which is in a suburb of Detroit, in Oak Park. That's at 26010 Greenfield Road. And Eric's I've Been Framed Shop, 16525 Livernois Avenue. And at the it's not for sale, but it's at the Hamtramck Public Library in Hamtramck. That's like a suburb that's inside of the city of Detroit. And it's also at the Wayne State Library and Special Collections. And then at the Southfield Public Library in their history room.
All righty. And you heard that if you can't go buy the book right now, you can go and get the book out the library and read it and take it back to the library until you're able to get it and put it on your own bookshelf. I had the pleasure of reading the book. The book was a great read, and the book was a great enlightenment on what's happening out here today in our urban neighborhoods and across America. So we're encouraging everybody to go cop that book. Like I said, put it in your library. Tell a friend, you know. So we're going to pass the mic over to the missus and let her do what she do.
Karen, I just wanted to ask you, how long did you substitute teach?
I would say off and on about 20 years.
Are you still doing it?
I'm sorry?
Are you still doing it?
No, I'm not.
Okay. And obviously, especially growing up being in Detroit, you've seen a lot of things happening. What would you say would be the maybe number one and number two biggest problems that you see with the youth out there today?
Well, right now we're going through a lot of financial difficulties. So there are things that are being limited, such as some of our recreation centers have had to close. So that's one thing that the youth don't have available to them as much as they used to. Some of our schools are even closing. Some of our schools have not been able to have programs of enrichment such as art and music and things that, you know, are proven to help guide kids into positive ways of being. I would have to say that, you know, it's hard to find positive things for children to do unless you look for them, because there's a lot going on that's good, but, you know, if people aren't looking for these things or aren't hearing about these things, then they don't know where they can be sending their children. And then, of course, there are some things cost, and some parents can't afford to use these different programs, but there are things such as scholarships. Parents can look up things that their children can do. There's always places like the YMCA or YWCA. There are groups like Big Brothers and Big Sisters. There are groups that cater to at-risk youth. One of the groups that we have here in Detroit is called the Children's Center, and they work with children in a variety of ways. They have youth programs, and they deal with at-risk youth, and they deal with children who are in foster care. They have community activities that would bring children into different situations that are positive. They deal with making strides with older foster care youth. They have truancy, which is a serious problem for youth and students in society. As I said, it's called the Children's Center. That's another place where I'll be having my second reading. I've been there before, and I'll be there again in May. And they do a lot of great work with kids.
Great. Well, you just let us know when you're going to be there, and we're going to make sure we post that up on the movement page, or you can post it on your page you have on there, and we'll get it sent out to all our members as well, you know?
There's an event section on our website that you can post up the events that you're having.
Right.
And let everybody know about that. And then from there you can post it to Twitter and Facebook also.
Right, I've been doing that. The event at the Children's Center I just booked, but that'll be on May 20th, I think.
That's great, you know.
Great.
And we love the work that you're doing, Miss Karen, there in Detroit. And we love how you're giving back to the kids and adults, you know, because the adults can learn just as well as the children can learn, you know. And we must also, once again, listen to our children instead of always turning a blind eye to what's happening out here in America. We must get involved more and stop turning our head less, you know.
Right.
And I think that's one of the major problems out here in families nowadays. We turn our head more so than want to deal with the situation. And when the situation get totally out of control, now we need help. But we've been needed help before the situation sparked totally out of control. So let's stay on top of your game out here, people, and let's do the right thing in our communities, and let's do the right thing within ourselves. And let's just start helping to do the right things to our community when it comes to the children as well, because they are truly the future, and if we don't guide them the right way, it's always down the wrong road, you know, and there's so many going down that road, but we can save what we can save, you know, so we want to save lives, not destroy lives, so let's keep involved, people, you know. Any shout-outs you'd like to give, Ms. Karen?
I'd like to shout out to, well, of course, Tracy and Aydra. They've been helpful to me. And
awesome ladies.
I'm sorry?
They're awesome ladies.
Yeah, they are. And then there's also Sylvia Hubbard. She's the founder of the Motown Writers Network. She's been very helpful. There have been a lot of people along the way that have encouraged me in my writing. There was a writing seminar that I was accepted to, and one of the instructors I had there told me that he thinks my book is going to be very successful. He actually said that I should make $1 million, so looking forward to that.
Okay. Good.
Yeah, his name is Jimmy Santiago Baca, and I met him in 2005. At a writing seminar for a group called VONA, Voices of Our Nation's Arts, and that was very inspiring. That you go there for a week, and that was a very inspiring week for me because
beautiful.
I came home and got on the book. And,
there it is.
Yeah.
Well,
and don't that make
of,
you feel
good? A lot of different things.
Right.
Yeah, and that makes you feel good when you can just do the right thing, don't it?
Yeah. And then, you know, I really believe in the book. I think that any youth that read it will enjoy it and learn the lessons without, you know, me talking down to them or fussing at them. You know, it just tells a story and tells about the trials that this boy goes through. And one of the things I thought of, Rob, while you were talking, is a lot of parents tend to bring their own negative experiences to places like school, for instance. You know, if you go there to see the teacher about your child, you should try to be open-minded and helpful instead of thinking, you know, this old teacher or you know, how much you hated school when you were there, you didn't do well.
and not trying to get involved with what's happening with your child. You sitting up here trying to, the teacher here every day with this child, whether he's doing good or whether she's doing bad or what have you. And before you can really get your conversation on the flow right, the parent's telling you what little Johnny and Susie ain't doing.
Right.
You know what I mean? And you ain't in this class no time to tell me what little Johnny and Susie doing. You know what I mean? You so busy, quick to woof and trip out on me, but I'm trying to tell you that your child needs some help. That's
right.
What I'm trying to tell you, ma'am or sir. I'm trying to tell you that your child needs help in this certain area, and we can work together to make him or her situation right. And I think a lot of parents, you know, get totally out of control because a lot of them think that their child just don't do wrong, which
right.
is crazy and ludicrous. Every child do wrong. You dig what I'm saying?
Right.
We just have to get together and see how can we help this child.
Right.
But the parents need to understand that, hey, once the child leaves your eyesight, you can't say what they're doing.
Right.
And that's what a blind eye get turned at. Now I'm tripping on the teacher.
Right.
So let's stop tripping, people, you know what I mean, and get along with the teacher and listen to what she's saying or he's saying. And I think that'll cut a lot of all that misunderstanding down, too.
Right.
So what we're going to do, we're going to hit everybody with that last track, that Streets Don't Love You Back track. And when we come back, then we're going to say...
You're already out of time, babe.
Right, okay. Well, we're going to say our last announcements, and then we'll speak on good night to everybody. But we'll say our last announcements. And thank you, Ms. Karen, for being on the show tonight. You keep up the great work you're doing, and we'll be continuously following your work and promoting what you're doing as well, you know. And you can go ahead and say the last announcements, babe.
Okay, we'd just like to ask you to get on our website and join us there as a member. And that's, again, www.thestreetsdontloveyouback.ning.com. Constantly putting up new videos and adding resources and, waiting for a lot of people to get on board with us and help us to, you know, build an empire here and be able to educate and teach others how to stay away from the bad things and how to be successful. We'd like to thank Alicia and Karen tonight for sharing with us and wish you continued success with your book, Karen, and with all the writings that you do. And we'd like to ask you all to join us again next Wednesday night. That's 11:30 Eastern Time, 8:30 Pacific Time. And our guest next week is Kevin Brown. He is a publisher. He has a book out called From Ghetto to Greatness. Kevin grew up in Long Beach, California, and has become a motivational speaker and a success coach. So it should be very interesting talking with Kevin next week. So join us if you can, and if not, you can always listen to any of our radio shows on our website 24/7, anytime. So I'd like to ask you to have a good week and be safe, and we will be back next week.
Everybody remember, the streets don't love you back. Have a good night, everybody.
You too. Thank you for having me.
Yes, bye.
Bye-bye.
Yeah, this the Streets Don't Love You Back. We dedicate this to all the youths across America, all those who've been abandoned by their parents and loved ones. We let you know that God is good, always. Even when no one else cares, He's there for you.
Oh,
keep your head up.
Oh, hey.
The streets don't love you back. Out here grinding in a life of crime. The streets don't love you back. It's only one rule, baby, I don't get mine. The streets don't love you back. It's only one way on this lonely road. The streets don't love you back. Gotta do right before they call me home. The streets don't
never love you.
This is Rob Boyd checking in, letting you know the streets will never ever love you back.
When I was abandoned
by my father in this world,
when I was abandoned
by the man that I thought loved me,
it took my whole life in another direction, my mind. How can you say that you love me in this world? Never did nothing for me or my mama or my sister in this world. How can you look at yourself and be proud of what you've done? Now I say to myself, as a little child, I went to the street world and I had to learn that it didn't love me back. Now I look at life so much in a different frame, my mind. Now I know the streets will never love me back. I thank God for what he's done for me, 'cause I listen to my mama in this world. Now I tell all the children, all the little boys and girls, the streets will never love you, will never love you back.
The streets don't love me back. I hear crying and my life is crying. The streets don't love me back. There's only one rule, baby, I'ma get mine. The streets don't love me back. There's only one way, I'ma slow and go.
The streets
don't love me back. Gotta do right before they call me home.
I know it's gonna change the way your young mind thinks, and I know you wanna lounge, smoke weed and drink, and I really ain't all the type to give a speech or preach, but I promise God that I would do this if you get me out the street. See, when I was coming up, motherfuckers was loyal, but now they cracking under pressure when the situation boils and comes to a head. Another fork in the road, everyone got affidavits, show they codies told. They wasn't scared to do the crime, but now these motherfuckers cowards. The county was one thing, but now it's no more private showers. It's all in the open. Better learn to be a man, fuck all the pistol popping, yapping. Should've learned to use your hands. Went from pods, dorms, to day rooms, to mess halls and rec yards. You think you're something special, everybody's got it hard. Penitentiary ain't like it is on TV, and a fair joint is something hope you never have to see. I don't care how tough you think you are to humble your ass. They got a room especially for you just to beat your ass. Shit sad, it's hard, raced by the streets with no dad, but going life with death and pressure ain't gonna never change the past. 'Cause
yeah, ladies and gentlemen, I like to dedicate this track to my mother, my brothers, my sister, to my man LD, his wife Holly, to my manager Lucinda, to my two sons, Michael and Robert. Dedicate this to my homeboys, the Bishop crew off Van Eyck and Harper, the Brewster Project, my man Chickaria, Warner County Project, 430 crew, Day and Fab, rest in peace. Let's do this. You live on through my vision. The streets don't love you back. One of your own made it. Now we tell the world, the streets will never love you back. Change your ways. Change your ways. Change your ways.